Welcome to the Kids Joining Eternity podcast, where we help break the silence surrounding miscarriage, stillbirth, and infant loss. Some of the content may be graphic or triggering, but our goal is to help provide healing, hope, and education to the community. Hello, and welcome to the Kids Joining Eternity podcast. I'm Sydney Rashidzada. And with me is April Rutledge. Say hello there.
Hello. Thank you again for having me co-host this fabulous podcast. I do want to take a moment to say that we are no longer called the One in Four podcast. You are not alone. We are now officially called the Kids Joining Eternity podcast, and we are part of the nonprofit Kids Joining Eternity that was started many years ago by our dear friend Melanie Edwards, and Sydney is on the board of that organization. So this podcast will now officially become part of Kids Joining Eternity.
Yes, and that's really exciting. But again, this is a lot of this is surrounding the idea of the fact that with one in four pregnancies ending in miscarriage or stillbirth or infant loss, you are absolutely not alone, and our goal is to share stories and have the hard conversations around this to bring comfort and educate the community. So we are happy to now be called the Kids Joining Eternity podcast, and it's also kind of nice that we're making this change now, especially this month, October, which is the National Month for Pregnancy Loss and Infant Loss Awareness.
If you are not a member of the infant pregnancy loss community, then you are probably not aware that October is reserved as a month of remembrance for these babies and families that have gone through this. Prior to 2014, I always assumed October was Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So your perspective changes a lot when you go through something like this, and you can appreciate the opportunity that there is a month that is set aside to celebrate your babies and your stories and to help come together as that community and share your babies.
And I mean, again, with you, I never knew that this was a thing, that it existed. And I think a lot of us who experience loss in the beginning go from not considering it at all as a possibility to that's almost all you can think about.
It becomes your life.
It does become your life. And it's luckily, I feel like from the time my loss happened, or my first loss happened, I was absolutely surrounded by people who really could guide me and help me work through my journey. And I can't imagine being isolated and thinking that you're alone or not having anyone to talk to about it. Sadly, I have friends here and there who will come to me and say, oh, so-and-so lost her baby or had a miscarriage. And I just kind of wait and extend for them to reach out. And I'm surprised how often people don't reach out, which I know it's a coping mechanism, but I felt the need to talk about my loss immediately.
I'm the same way. It's very therapeutic for me. And at the core of who I am is I want to help people. And so I am also one of those people that reaches out. You know, sometimes you might never hear back from them. Sometimes it might be a year later, which was in my case. I reached out to somebody and I didn't hear back for a year later. But the fact that you even make that connection, I promise you that person will remember that. And they will remember that they are not the only ones that have gone through this.
Yes. And again, this is why podcast is so important, especially this month, to just have the time, a space to remember our babies, to talk about them, to memorialize them. And last night was the National Wave of Light.
Yes, October 15th every year, for those of you that don't know, at 7 p.m., we light a candle to remember our babies. And, you know, this year I lit 7 candles. I lit 6 for my babies and 1 for all of my friends' babies. And so, you know, that was one more candle than I lit last year.
Well, that's amazing because I didn't even, this is making me feel really sad and guilty. I only lit 1 candle. And I love the idea of lighting an additional candle for all of your loved ones? That's really, how did you come up with that idea? Did you hear about it? Did you make it up?
I just did it from the very first time that I heard about the Wave of Light in 2014. I felt like, because I was so open with my story, I had women immediately reach out to me saying that they had experienced a miscarriage. And, you know, there were women that I hadn't seen in 15 years that are reaching out to me on Facebook saying, I'm thinking about you, I'm lighting a candle in honor of your baby. And, you know, privately, I just wanted the opportunity to let them know that their babies are remembered. And even if you don't want to be recognized, I remember your baby.
I love that. I really, really love that. And I also love it when I have friends now who, whenever I do say anything, especially on social media, about Mina, they like immediately chime in and they say her name, and that makes my heart really, really happy, because I feel like, I don't know if my friends and family who talk about her freely and openly and without being weird, I don't know if they truly know how much it means to me. So let me just come out and say, if you know someone or love someone who's experienced a loss or losses, you not being weird around it, or and just normalizing it.
And saying the baby's name.
And saying the baby's name.
Their name, that name. And
asking questions, asking about special dates, or just having any kind of conversation is so helpful.
It is. It is.
And I never realized how much I appreciated it until recently. It just kind of hit me. Wow, I have really awesome friends in my life. And, you know, it also kind of highlights the people in my life who maybe aren't as, I don't know,
understanding aware. Or aware. Yes, as we like to say. But, you know, it's one of those things that everyone does experience differently, but we will continue to reach out.
Yes, and also, you know, I feel bad because I've cut people out of my life in the past for not saying the wrong thing, but I think the main ones that I feel bad about are the ones who maybe took a little while to reach out to me after Mina died, and I kind of cut them out pretty prematurely. Like, I feel bad about that.
You shouldn't feel bad about that, though, because, you know, you were grieving. And you were having to do what you needed to do to protect yourself so you could heal from that.
Yes. I guess maybe the other thing is how important it is for everyone to know that everybody grieves differently. And everyone also reacts to your grief differently. So some people may acknowledge this month with you and some people may not. But I think that you have to keep an open heart to those and the different way that they do that.
Right.
But I love the idea of lighting a candle for other people's babies.
Well, let's talk about some other things that we can do to help remember and honor our babies. There are a lot of people out there that do gardens or plant trees or rose bushes in honor of their babies. My aunt has bought a star and named a star after every one of my angel babies.
That is so sweet.
So that was a fabulous, fabulous thing for her to do for all of my babies. Another great thing to do is random acts of kindness. We do this every year on Ethan's birthday. We perform however many random acts of kindness he would be in age.
Oh, I love that.
And so this year he would have been 5. So we performed 5 random acts of kindness in honor of him.
I love that. And I've seen that done before. And every year I think I'm going to do it and I never do it. But I love that idea. And the tree thing is such a lovely idea. When Mina died, one of my dear friends planted one in Prospect Park, or had one planted in Prospect Park in Brooklyn in honor of her. And the hospital that my husband worked for at the time, Calvary Hospital in the Bronx, planted a pink flowering dogwood tree, and it I love it because, and there's also a tree in the Prospect Park Zoo that my dear friends, in the butterfly garden in the children's zoo. And what I really love, and there's a little plaque there. So every once in a while, I'll get a random picture texted to me of one of the trees. And it just makes my heart so happy. So if you're ever in the Prospect Park Zoo, go to the butterfly garden. Mina's tree is there.
And this is a great thing. If you are looking for a way to support a friend who has lost a baby, Christmas ornaments with their name on it, anything with that baby's name on it is incredibly meaningful to that parent who has lost that child, because we miss out on so many opportunities to even see, write, hear, say our baby's name, that we want those reminders that our baby existed, and we do that with having their name put on things. So that is also a great way to support your friends that have lost a baby.
Absolutely. And I will say, I said it again, I had and have some amazing friends and family members who have really gone out of their way to remember my daughter. I remember this was when I first moved to Oklahoma. This was a really moving thing for me. I was teaching over at Deer Creek Elementary. And so, you know, this is Mina around this time. This was about 3 years or so out from her death.
Okay.
And I was chatting with my pre-K teammates at the time. And so they knew about Mina. And I went into one of my fellow teachers' classrooms one day, and she had a desk calendar on her desk. And it was about May, and so it was opened up to May. And there on the calendar, on May 13th, my friend had written Mina's birthday. And I lost it. I was like, wow, I cannot believe that this person that I really just met less than a year ago, as it was my first year teaching and living here, I could not believe that she had taken the time to write down her name and her birthday. I was blown away. And also, like, the people that I teach with, I mean, I know it's kind of maybe cliche, but I tell you, I get the most beautiful bouquet of bouquet? What is wrong with me? What happened to me? I had a bouquet. I'm getting
Welcome
old.
To Oklahoma.
I'm almost I'm almost 45 years old. I literally forgot how to say that word. But I get the most beautiful flowers every year from my teaching teammates. Or, you know, I think one year during the pandemic, my dear friend Rachel Venmo'd me $10 on her birthday and said, go get a milkshake with your boys today. It was just like littlest things.
Yes.
And wow, does it. And also my brother and sister-in-law, I would be remiss if I didn't bring them up. They always send the most beautiful flowers on her birthday every year. So not that you don't have to buy things.
No,
for people.
I mean, my sister, so I've got, my sister's fantastic. So I have 6 angel babies, and every angelversary, my sister sends me a text. So we celebrate angelversaries, and which is when we delivered our babies.
Yes.
And she always sends me a text saying she's thinking of me and my baby at that time, and says that baby's name. And my best friend Kelly does the same thing. So, you know, we are very fortunate that we have people in our lives that recognize that and understand that. And I think that's why we try to do that with other people too.
Yeah. But yeah. And then just like you said, just a text or saying their name, any of these things is just a really nice way to help remember our babies. And it really goes a long way. I'm always surprised with how good it makes me feel. And then of course, you know, then you have, every once in a while people say dumb things too.
Right, right.
The dumbest thing I ever heard is I have a necklace that is a little mini urn that has a little bit of Mina's ashes in it.
Okay.
And this was said by one of my pre-K parents years ago. The dad looks at me. It was at a parent-teacher conference. I had the necklace on. He looks at me and he says, "What's in your necklace? The ashes of your dead pet turtle?" I don't know why it was a dead pet turtle, but he thought he was being very, very funny, and I just deadpan looked at him and said, no, it's the ashes of my dead daughter. But thank you for asking. I have never seen more horror on a person's face than that moment. And his sweet wife.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I think she almost started crying. And I then quickly was like, no, it's fine. It's okay. I'm all right. I couldn't resist. Please don't feel bad. But maybe don't ever say that again.
How about we take this as a teachable moment?
That's a teachable moment.
I like to use teachable
and
moments.
Speaking of teachable moments, something happened to you.
Yes, something happened to me today. And I think this is a good opportunity for me to reach out to a company and encourage them to maybe change some of their practices.
Fantastic.
I'm not gonna talk about the company, but I went to a ultrasound place. You know, when you can go and get video and 3D ultrasounds of your baby, and I went a year ago, and that was how it was confirmed that my baby was no longer alive, and that was the only way I could get an ultrasound at the time because this was in the middle of the pandemic. It was a nightmare.
Which is a crazy story in and of itself.
It was a crazy story.
Yeah.
So I got an email today saying, happy anniversary. We hope you have enjoyed your time with our company. Please let us know if there's anything we can do to improve. So you bet I will be reaching out to them and saying, hey, maybe not such a good idea to send anniversary emails to women who have come in there and gotten an ultrasound where there is no heartbeat for their child.
And also, you know, you just never know how pregnancies are going to turn out. I mean, you don't. And it's surprising to me that even if they didn't have it on record of what the ultrasound showed, there has to be, I don't know, it just seems
there's,
like...
Trust me, there's opportunity for improvement here.
Yes.
And I'm going to use the story of the What's to Expect Pregnancy Tracker app as an example.
Mm.
And that was an app that was not catered for someone when your pregnancy ended in miscarriage. And so I completely deleted that app off of my phone.
You know, I didn't even have that. I had some pregnancy app on my phone. Obviously the book, I would pore over that thing.
Yes.
Does anybody actually read books anymore? But I had it, but I didn't have the app. So.
So I got rid of that app. Now there was an online group called Pregnancy After Loss Support. They're mm-hmm. very active on social media.
Yes.
They have their own pregnancy tracker app that is specifically designed for women that are pregnant after a loss. And let me tell you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
This is amazing, and I'm so glad that this resource exists. It is free. You can get it in the App Store. So, you know, it is catered to women who have gone through that loss. So,
what's it called? Say the name again for our listeners.
It's Pregnancy After Loss.
That sounds pretty straightforward.
Yes. And they, you know, it's PAL for short.
Oh, P-A-L. Okay.
So, they do have that app, and it's great. So, these are teachable moments, and these are opportunities for us to enlighten the community, especially a community that serves pregnant women. I feel like this is something that should be on the forefront of their radar, and it's a good opportunity.
That is. And speaking of pregnancy after loss, just one of the things that I found interesting this month, with it being, you know, Pregnancy Loss and Infant Loss Awareness Month, lots of things on the interwebs and on the social medias,
yes.
You know, with celebrities sharing their stories, which is amazing.
It is. It's amazing to see some of these women celebrities share the 1 in 4 statistics and talk about this month and get that awareness out there.
I've read tons of articles, but one of the things just around the whole idea of things that might be triggering for some people that aren't for others, or just so I read this really interesting article about the concept of a rainbow baby, which so many in our community use.
Well, and a rainbow baby, now if you're listening to this podcast, you probably do know what a rainbow baby is, but for those of you that don't know, it is the term that is given to a baby that is born after a loss. So
correct. And I didn't even know that rainbow baby was a thing until really, I mean, well after my boys were born.
Okay.
I didn't, for some reason, I had missed the memo on that. I didn't get it. So I never had any attachment to that term. But apparently now, and you know, here we are in this culture where things that you said last year are no longer acceptable. I guess you can call it the woke situation, you know, yes, where things get, yes, offensive and you didn't, they weren't intended that way. So apparently there's a community of women who have experienced loss that had take issue with the rainbow baby term. It triggers them because the woman in the article said that she felt that the term rainbow baby in relation to her living child that she had after her stillbirth, that somehow implied that her baby that was stillborn was just a dark, terrible storm and the life was nothing but bad, and but now there's this good thing out of it. So I understand the perspective, I guess, that this woman has. I may not agree with it 100%. Like I said, I have no emotional ties to the term rainbow baby because I didn't use it or really hear it until you know, within the past several years. So I'm kind of neither here nor there on it, but I guess it's another example of how everyone experiences their loss
differently,
and you have to do what's best for you. And if you use the term rainbow baby, which I know that you do, and affectionately at that, it's okay. And again, I think it goes back to that idea that people are going to say things or do things that will maybe hurt you or offend you in the moment, but keeping an open heart around that and realizing that nobody's perfect.
Right.
And that nobody intends to hurt you when they say these things. I mean, how do you feel about the whole rainbow, the pushback of rainbow baby?
Well, look, it is an opportunity to say that everyone does have different triggers surrounding pregnancy loss, and I am not going to sit here and tell somebody that they can't have a trigger, because if something triggers you, it's going to trigger you. And if if the term rainbow baby is triggering to you, then I will not use it.
But no, I don't think that you should have to not use it. Maybe you don't use it in reference to
their baby. Right, that's what I mean, in reference to their baby.
Oh, okay, I thought you were saying.
No. Like, I
that's
still,
not the April I know.
No. I still, you know, I have one rainbow baby. I am hoping and praying for my second. I don't think that's going to be the case, but I will continue to use that terminology in any and all references I do and outreach that I do regarding this, because it is a term that has been embraced by this community for so long. And it is a beacon of hope to so many women.
Yes. And I think basically, like, the whole point of us talking today was really about the month of October, about it being a time of remembrance, even though that's not the only time we remember, right? It's not, yes, isolated to one month out of the year or a day or anything like that. It's just, it's nice to have that pointed, directed, like, ray of light on remembering. And for anyone who loves someone or knows someone who's experiencing loss, there's just basic things you can do.
Absolutely.
To help them and honor their babies. And this is what this month is all about. And I think the most important thing is literally just being there.
It is. You don't have to say anything. Just show up.
You might say something stupid.
That's right.
Or you may not say something that the person really wants you to say, but just being present and is really the basis.
Yes.
For it.
I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm here to listen.
You let me know if you need anything.
And just show up.
Can I bring you a casserole?
Bringing food, always.
Bring casseroles. Always. Bring casseroles. Send them food. I mean, you know, like I said, you don't have to spend any money.
No, you don't.
But if you do, food is a great way to do it.
Food is very healing. All right, well, this is April and Signe for the Kids Joining Eternity podcast. Thank you for helping us break the silence surrounding miscarriage, stillbirth, and infant loss. If you or someone you know is experiencing a loss, please visit kidsjoiningeternity.org for resources and support.
Thank you for listening to the Kids Joining Eternity podcast. For more information, please visit kidsjoiningeternity.org.